If you're visiting with us this morning, over the last several months, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. People sometimes ask, do we still obey the Ten Commandments? Absolutely, yes. Amen? Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He summarized the Ten Commandments. Because the first four commandments talk about loving God, and the remaining six talk about loving our neighbor. Amen? Today we're going to talk about, you shall not steal. We've heard of no-fly zones. We've heard of no-parking zones. There is a school in California called the Ladera Vista Junior High School. It's a no-theft zone. Children are not allowed to come to school with cell phones, iPods, MP3 players, so that those things will not be stolen. That school is a no-theft zone, and there is no theft going on because there's nothing to steal. Okay, it's not that complicated if you think about it. The Christian life should be a personal no-theft zone. Look in Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we're down to the 8th commandment. Again, I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of the series, you can go to the website acoc-gwinnett.org and listen to the lessons. Amen? Let me encourage you. We put the sermons on the website for a reason. So that if you're sick, you couldn't be here, you can go back and listen to them. Amen? Take one day out this week during your quiet time and just listen to the lessons. But today we've gotten to the 8th commandment. It simply says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Okay? This is one of those sins that I believe you don't have to teach anybody how to do. There is not a person in here. I'm talking to the adults now. There is not a single adult in here who hasn't stolen something in this life. You remember? When you were a kid, and you thought you were smart, and your parents didn't know what was going on, and you would go into the kitchen and eat some cookies, wipe your mouth, make sure you swallow it, and then you come out like everything is fine. That's stealing. Look at the person sitting next to you. You're sitting next to a thief. At one point in life, they were thieves. You know what I used to do? When I was growing up, I loved chocolate. And so I would go out, obviously, you know, like every parent, they controlled how much of chocolate I consumed. So, but I'd go out. I'd go buy the stuff from the store. And, you know, you can't walk in with that stuff in your hand. You know, somebody's going to see you, and a door's going to see you, or put it in your pocket. So what's that in your pocket? And so what I would do is, I'd go buy the stuff outside, and then I'd go put it on the ledge of the window to my room. Then I come inside the house like everything's fine. Then I go into the room and eat the chocolate. And then I, you know, you can't go throw the wrapper in the garbage can because they're going to see. And I put it in my pocket. And sometimes I just throw it on the bed. And then lo and behold, you know, wait a second, how did all these wrappers get underneath here? You all understand what I'm talking about. We've all stolen at some point. But God says, you shall not steal. Refusing to steal is a matter of obedience to God. The 8th commandment protects the sanctity of personal property. It teaches us how to treat the possessions of others. Look in Exodus chapter 19. Same page, prayerfully, in your Bible. Exodus chapter 19. You see, there are three fundamental truths we must understand when it comes to possessions. Number one, God owns everything. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, in verse 5, it says, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. This is God talking to the Israelites. And he said, guess what? Everything on earth is mine. Are you with me? Everything belongs to God. And so when you steal something, guess who you're stealing from? Really? It's God. Now you may think, okay, that belongs to dad, or that belongs to mom, or that belongs to somebody else. You're stealing from the Lord. Because everything belongs to God. We see the same sentiment in Psalm 24, verse 1. Everything on earth, including the earth, the entire universe belongs to God. Are you with me? That's why we can't steal anything. It doesn't belong to us. Everything belongs to the Lord. The second fundamental truth we need to understand is that God gives us everything we have and we need. Look in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. God gives us everything we have and we need. 1 Chronicles 29, in verse 12. It says, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." Amen? The Bible says wealth and honor come from who? From God. You see, I don't have to steal anything. You don't have to steal anything. Because it all comes from God. God knows what we need, the Bible says, even before we ask Him. Are you with me? When God has given somebody some items, He wants them to have it. When God wants to give you certain things, He will give it to you. You can't go take what belongs to somebody else. You can't go take what God has given to somebody else. It's called stealing. It doesn't matter whether it's $5 or whether it's $10,000. Stealing is stealing. If you steal a dollar and you steal $50, guess what? You're still a thief. I think sometimes as humans, we want to minimize things based on the value of what we've taken. See, the Bible doesn't make such distinctions. Stealing is stealing. But you see, we don't have to steal because God gives us everything we need. Amen? And finally, one day we're going to give an account to God. Look in Romans 14. In Romans chapter 14, we're talking about you shall not steal. You know, there's a saying in my culture, the person who lies will steal. And if you think about it, if you find thieves, they're also probably liars. Romans 14 in verse 12. Very simple scripture. It says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." You know, we can't forget that one day we're all going to stand before the throne of God and give an account. And whether you've stolen, whether you've committed adultery, whatever it is, whatever commandments of God you and I have violated, we're going to have to stand and face that. Are you with me? Amen? You shall not steal. Now, you may be sitting this morning going, "Well, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm an adult now. I don't steal anymore." Oh, you wait. We're going to get to the end of the summer. Because we steal in different ways today. And that's what you're going to see from the scriptures. But you see, in the Old Testament, property rights were established. And back in the Bible days, you know, it was mainly a farming and agricultural society. And that's why you see a lot of the stories, a lot of the illustrations are farming and stuff to do with agriculture. But obviously, we've evolved, quote-unquote, we're now talking technological society. Some people would argue that we're now in the computer age, but it doesn't matter. Stealing is still stealing. But you see, in the Old Testament, there were specific laws related to theft. And they could be categorized into four groups. Some laws dealt with relationships between individuals. All right? For instance, let's look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Let me hear the Bible's turning. I didn't put the scriptures up on the screen today for a reason. Leviticus 19. In verse 11, there it is again. It says, do not steal. And then in verse 13, it says, do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Amen? See, again, several scriptures talking about when something belongs to somebody else, don't take it from them. It doesn't belong to you. Are you with me? You couldn't take what belongs to somebody else. Also, there were boundaries and landmarks that were set up to denote where your property started and where somebody else's ended. And you couldn't move those boundary markers. Because again, if for instance, if your land starts over here, going in that direction, and I came and moved that boundary mark over here so that I could steal this, scripture said that's wrong. Are you with me? You see, a lot of the plats that we see and surveys that we even see today is all from the Old Testament. This whole idea of, okay, where does your property line begin and where does it end? It's all in the Bible. But you see, you couldn't move stuff. I mean, today, if you went home and said, you know what? I need a little bit more grass. I'm just going to move the fence. Let's just move the fence back, I don't know, 2 feet. Guess what? Your neighbor's not going to be very happy. As a matter of fact, he's going to fight you on it. Why? Because you don't move the boundary marker. That's in Deuteronomy 19:14. Also, aiding and abetting the theft was considered theft in the scriptures. Proverbs 29, verse 24. Aiding and abetting somebody who steals, that's still stealing. But you say, well, that's got nothing to do with me. I didn't do it. Yes, you did. According to what God is concerned about. Are you with me? So there were laws dealing with relationships between individuals. There were also acts of kindness and justice. Look in Exodus 23. This is very interesting. Exodus 23, in verse 4. It says, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it. You see, we have a saying today in the West, in America, finders keepers, losers weepers. It doesn't exist in the Bible. You find something that belongs to somebody else, you have to make an effort to return it. Are you with me? Okay? I mean, look at this. Look at this stage. This is a stage. All right? If you found a watch on the stage, common sense tells you that that watch does not belong on that stage. Now, obviously, the wristwatch is not yours, so it must belong to somebody else. Well, ooh, look at that nice watch. Ooh, that's a Rolex. Ooh, baby. These things are worth a lot of money. I'm just going to keep that in my pocket. You can't do that. As a matter of fact, you realize that in Georgia, this law is on books. If you find something under Georgia law, you got to go make every effort to find out who it belongs to. If you put that stuff in your pocket, they could charge you with theft. Did you know that? This law is actually on the books in Georgia. So no finders keepers in Georgia. I'm sorry. If you find something, you got to make every effort to return it to the rightful owner. I mean, think about it. It makes sense. If you lost something valuable, wouldn't you want somebody to return it? You know, every once in a while, you'll hear on the news where somebody, they got some huge amount of money, like maybe $10,000, and maybe they were going to the bank or something, and they left it somewhere, maybe in a restaurant, and somebody finds it and returns it. And it makes the news. It's such a big deal because we live in such a dishonest society. I'm sorry. There is no way in the world I can be out and come across money like that and put it in my pocket and go to sleep at night. I can't do it. That's not my money. That's somebody else's money. They're missing it. They're hoping that somebody will turn it in. And don't forget, when we came here a little over 7 years ago to interview for this position, my wife and I were going into Kroger supermarket right on 78 and Killian Hill. And we're going, and I looked down, and there was money on the ground. And I picked it up. And it was a $100 bill folded up. It had that new money smell. And I was like, and I looked around. My wife was standing right next to me. And I saw a guy walking away. I said, excuse me, I think you dropped something. The guy says, how much? I said, it's $100. The guy said, that's not mine. And so I'm looking around. I said, what am I going to do with this? So we went into the store. And we went to the, whatever you call that area, customer service. And I said, you know what? I found this in the parking lot. I'm sure somebody's going to come back and, claim it. And said, the lady says, how much is it? And that's when I opened it up. And it was actually $200. Two new notes. And she says, I said, here you go. And she says, I need your name and address. I said, what for? She says, well, if nobody claims it, we're going to send it to you. I said, really? And so I wrote down my name and I left the address of the couple we were staying with when we came for the interview. And we, went about my business and that was it. We moved over here, and about 3 months later, I got a check in the mail from Kroger for $199. I guess they took out a dollar processing fee or whatever. But, they sent me a check for $199. Again, I couldn't put it in my wallet. I couldn't do it. And so we just put in the contribution for the poor. Again, I'm not saying that to blow my trumpet. But you see, when you find something, it belongs to somebody else. Amen? And I've lost money. Have you lost money? It's a horrible feeling. I remember going, a few years ago, we went for a conference in Los Angeles. And I had all the money we were meant to use for food. We had it in an envelope. Sarah and I went out to dinner one night with a couple. And I left the envelope on the table. So the next day, wait a second, where's the envelope? Oh, no, I think I left it on the table after I paid for dinner. And I ran back. Oh, no, nobody saw an envelope. I said, come on, guys, I left this thing here. It was a block away from the hotel. Nobody saw it. I just said, okay, well, whatever. I hope somebody who really needed the money found it. I'm sure it was one of the people in the back. But they wouldn't admit it. But there are no finders keepers in the scriptures. Amen? We're meant to return things. Also, in the scriptures, they were called to leave the edges of their fields for the poor. And when poor people came to grab grain at the edges of fields of those who had, that was not considered stealing. That's in the scriptures, actually. Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 to 25. Are you with me? Also, landowners could not withhold the pay of their laborers. Deuteronomy 24:15. Again, by law today, if you're working at the end of the month or, whatever arrangement you have, whether it's by week or twice a month, they got to pay you. Because if your employer doesn't pay you, that's stealing. You've given the effort. You've worked for that stuff. Are you with me? But you see, remember that back then, they didn't have courts and stuff like that. And so landowners could not withhold the pay of those who were working for them. It's like, you know what? You spoke back to me today. I'm not going to pay you. They couldn't do that back then. You can't do that today either. Are you with me? And then obviously, the one we're all very familiar with is the Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 that talks about how will a man rob God? That, you know, God says, you know, bring in the tithes and offerings. If we're not giving tithes and offerings, you're robbing God. You say, well, Richard, there's no tithe in the New Testament. Yes, there is no tithe in the New Testament. If anything, I believe in the New Testament, we're called to go beyond. God calls us to give generously. Why? Because the money goes to advancing God's kingdom. It goes to advancing the word of God. It doesn't go into my pocket. You better believe that this church has a bank account. Guess what? I don't know what the number is. I don't want to know. I'm not interested. We got an administrator. The elders take care of the finances. I'll never forget what one guy said a long time ago. He says, when he sees a church, he will ask only one question. Who signs the checks? If it's the preacher, he says, it's not a church, it's a business. And there's a lot of truth to that. You see, the money you give doesn't go into my pocket. It doesn't. Amen? I can't put it in my pocket. Can you imagine if I had access to our building fund? And all of a sudden, you know, I pull in one Sunday morning. In my nice, spiffy, brand new spanking new car. Hey, Richard, nice car. Yeah. And then you find out 2 weeks later, he stole the money from the building fund to buy himself a car. Would you be fired up about that? I don't think so. You'd be very upset. But you see, that could never happen. Because first of all, I have no access to the account. If I walk into our bank today, they don't even know who I am. Oh, you're the leader of that church? Oh, really? Oh, nice to meet you. Amen? But you see, sometimes the Bible says we rob God if we're not giving our offerings, if we're not giving our tithe. Amen? We need to get out of debt so that we can give God what duly belongs to Him. Amen? Now let's look at some judicial reactions to theft. Again, I've tried to put the references down. A person caught in the act of stealing had to pay back double. Exodus 22 verse 4. So if you go out and you steal $10, guess what? You're going to give 20 back. Stolen sheep that were stolen or slaughtered had to be paid back 4 for 1. You find that in Exodus 22 verse 1. Stolen oxen that were stolen or slaughtered had to be paid back 5 for 1. I like this one. Stolen food had to be paid 7-fold. You stole a cup of flour, you're going to give back 7 cups. And then there was execution. Execution was the punishment for kidnapping. Exodus 22 verse 16. When you kidnap somebody, you're stealing a human being. Okay? Now today they're going to lock you up for a long time. So don't do it. But I like this. Double, 4-for-1, 5-for-1, 7-fold. The whole idea was the punishment was based on the value of what you stole. Are you with me? That's why there's a difference between if you go steal $100. There's a certain sentence for that. If you steal $1 million, you're going to get more time. Okay? The biggest thief, quote unquote, we've caught so far, they've locked him away for life and thrown away the keys. Bernie Madoff. I'm sorry, man. Bernie could not have owed me money. First of all, I would have seen that scheme coming long, long, long time ago. I read the reports. I know what's going on. How can you continue to say you're making these profits when everybody else is suffering? Okay? If Bernie owed me money, I'm going to just show, hey, Bernie, where my money at? Hey, come out right now. Hey, I need my money right now. Okay, now obviously I don't have that kind of money to invest with Bernie Madoff, but he's still a lot of people's money. A lot of those guys today are screaming. They're hurting. We're not talking $10,000, we're talking millions of dollars that man stole. Messed up the lives of a lot of people. That's why he's in jail. Now, there's still a lot of people walking around today that have stolen money, embezzled people's money, and they think they're getting away with it. Oh, no. Even if they don't get caught in this life, they're going to stand before God one day. Are you with me? So you and I don't have to worry about that. Amen? But you see, even the judicial system recognizes that you can't steal and get away with it. This week, I'm not sure if you heard the news. It was very sad. A bookkeeper of a high school in DeKalb County stole $12,000 from the school account. She bought a flat screen TV from Best Buy and some other stuff. I mean, money that's meant for kids. She stole it. She thought she could get away with it because she kept the books. But obviously they performed an audit and they found her $12,000 missing. Obviously they fired her. But she's in trouble. Yeah, even if she pays back that money, chances are she's going to go to jail. Because stealing is wrong. Now the thing is, again, a lot of times we make excuses for why we sin. Sometimes people say, well, the people they stole from, they have so much, I knew they wouldn't miss it. We justify stealing. After all, here's another one. I didn't hurt anyone. So I broke in when they were not home. As if that makes it right. Stealing is stealing. I like this one. The devil made me do it. What happened? Oh, the devil made me do it. I don't know what possessed me. I think it was the devil. Liar. Sometimes people say, everybody does it. And then this one usually is by employees. Well, I deserve to be paid more by my employer, so I just steal the money. Why don't you go ask for a raise? Chances are, if you're doing a great job, you won't even have to ask for a raise. The man will give it to you. The woman will give it to you. Why? Because people are trying to keep their best employees. That will be the incentive to keep you. You don't have to steal it. Okay? Now, how do we steal today? Now, let's talk about us. Theft of time. Here you are. You've been hired to work from 9 to 5. And you spend hours on the internet. That's stealing. You are not being paid to surf the web. We spend hours talking on the telephone with our friends and family. You are not being paid to talk on the telephone. You are stealing from your employer if you are doing that. It's the same thing. You shall not steal, God says. Here's a huge one right now. Where people actually steal your identity. They got a hold of your social security number, and all of a sudden, they start using your name to buy stuff. And all of a sudden, your credit is messed up royally. That's why Congress, I believe it was last year or the year before, they changed all the laws. In terms of, if you do that right now, you're going to jail for a long time. But identity theft is huge right now. You better take care of that social security number. Make sure you know it off head. Make sure that stuff is not just lying anywhere. Because people will steal your identity in a heartbeat. By the way, I just remembered something. Talking about identity. There's a guy on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook, okay? I'm not on Facebook. You couldn't pay me to get on Facebook. There's a guy on Facebook who actually has the same name that I do, Richard Holloway. And to me, the amazing thing is, you know, you go read the guy's profile. First of all, it says single. Do I look like a single guy to you? He's meant to be 32. I'm going to be 49 in a few months. And some of us, we befriended this guy. That's not me. The guy doesn't have a photo. I don't know who that guy is. Don't look to me. I don't have a Facebook account and I am not going to own one. Okay? You are not talking to this Richard Holloway. I don't know who that guy is. I don't know where he lives. I mean, disciples even say, oh, happy birthday. The guy's 32 years old. And they think it's me. I'm not on Facebook. Okay? Amen, church? Amen. I am not on Facebook. I want you to go home and go, how do you say, defriend that guy. That's not me. That guy's trying to steal my identity, but it ain't me. Another way we steal today is literary theft. Where you try and steal something that somebody else has done. And it's so rampant today with the internet. You see a lot of students going in, even adults. They want to write a paper, and they'll go steal it. Change the name, and submit as theirs. That's theft. It's sin. It is wrong. You didn't write that stuff. It doesn't belong to you. Okay? Another huge one is music theft. And this also includes DVDs and all that stuff. What do I mean? When somebody spends a lot of money putting a movie together, okay, I'm making this up. Let's say the Bourne Ultimatum. Okay, I like Jason Bourne. All right? And then you go into Best Buy or, you know, Target or something. Those DVDs are like 10 bucks. When they first come out, they're very expensive. But then the price drops. Let's say 10 bucks. And so you see this guy comes, hey, I got some new DVDs. He says, how much? He says, just $2. $1.99. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that's a bootleg DVD. But here's the thing. Some of us, even as Christians, we buy that stuff. That is wrong. It is sinful. That money ought to go to the studio that put out the DVD in the first place, not to this bootlegger. We do the same thing with music. Now, there's nothing wrong in if you have a CD and you want to burn a CD for somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not stealing. Now, if I took my Earth, Wind, and Fire collection of music and I decided to make copies and then I'm going to stand at the door, hey, $2. That's stealing. Because I'm profiting off of somebody else's copyright. Are you with me? But if you're giving something like that as a gift, there's nothing wrong with it. Amen? We laugh, but it goes on. It shouldn't be. If you have that kind of stuff in your house, when you get home today, you need to go destroy all of them. You heard me. You need to go destroy them. Because you bought stuff that's bootlegged. It's illegal. It's not right. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. If something is not original, I'm not buying it. That's why my DVD collection is not very large. Besides, I mean, I only buy, you know, really awesome DVDs. You know? I can't buy every DVD. I mean, besides, I don't have the time to watch all this stuff anyhow. But, you know, I got my classics. I got my Sound of Music. To me, that's the most incredible movie of all time. I've seen it about 100 times. Okay? I got my Sound of Music. I got my Shawshank Redemption. Ooh, that's a movie and a half right there. Gladiator. Okay? I mean, my collection is not that big. So I can afford to pay whatever it is they're asking for. But all I'm saying is, don't buy bootleg stuff. Amen? It's not right. There's a barber shop I go to right here, where I get my hair cut, and this guy walks in. That's all he does. He has this huge bag, and he sells all these bootlegs. So one day he comes up to me, hey, dude, you know, I got all the music. I looked at him, I said, no, thank you. He's never asked me again. I see him all the time. He's always hustling. Hey, I got the new music. I got this and I got this. And people are buying that nonsense. That's why I've not been able to succeed in getting any of them to church so far. But I want to keep trying. But it's wrong. Amen? And then let's talk about credit theft. He said, Richard, what's that? When you take that credit card and you go buy stuff that you know you can't pay for, you're stealing. Did you know that? Well, I'm just going to put it on the card. We'll figure out how we're going to pay for it. Excuse me? That's theft. How's your credit? How much debt are you in? Some of us were in so much debt. That's why we can't even give sacrificially. I've seen Christians have this attitude of, well, you know what? When I get out of debt, then I start giving generously to the church. You got it backwards. You need to give what God has called you to do and still pay down your debt. And then you will see Him help you turn that situation around. Amen? The Bible says we shouldn't steal. If I don't have money for something, guess what? I'm not buying it. You know? I don't pay full value for anything. I really don't. You walk into a store, you see a nice shirt that you've been wanting for a while, $70. Give it a few months, I promise you. You're going to get that same shirt for $19.99. Then you walk into the store and buy that sucker. That's how you shop. That's how you stay out of debt. Amen? It's not about, look at that. Honey, where's the card? Don't do it. If anything, cut up those cards. Because if you don't have them, you can't use it. Amen? We got to get out of credit theft. We got to get out of that. As Christians, we need to do honest work. God calls us to work for our livelihood. In closing, I want us to look at some scriptures very quickly. All in Proverbs. You shall not steal. You know, people think they're going to get away with stuff. They think they're smart. They think they're slick. Ha! You haven't read enough Bible. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, verse 9. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. It's a promise. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, you will be found out. Are you with me? That's what the Bible teaches. Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 11, I love this one. The Bible says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Dishonest money dwindles away. Money that is stolen, money that is acquired through fraud and dishonesty, it's going out the door. Imagine a picture of you got all this money, cash sitting on the bed, and all of a sudden there's a draft that comes in and the wind just blows it all out. It's gone. By the time you get out there, people have grabbed it. Dishonest money, that's how it dwindles away. Amen? And finally, Proverbs chapter 20. And this is where we're going to close out. I love this one. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. It says, food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man. But he ends up with a mouth full of gravel. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man. But in the end, he ends up with a mouth full of gravel. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just picture that. That's what little kids do. Can you imagine grabbing a few gravel outside in the parking lot and just put them in your mouth? That's what it feels like. Food gained by fraud. It may taste sweet, but it's going to end up in your mouth full of gravel. Amen? Honesty. Integrity. You shall not steal. It's not a suggestion. It is a command of Almighty God. Church, let's be a righteous and an honest people. God bless you all.
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for a beautiful Sunday morning, God. Thank you for safely getting us here to worship you, God. God, thank you so much for Richard. Thank you so much, God, for our elders and all our leaders, God. God, thank you so much for blessing us with some talented musician, God. God, we are truly grateful. God, thank you for the message from Richard this morning, God. Thank you for Joe's message as well, God, as you take us back to the Sermon on the Mount. God, we needed to hear that. God, I pray that as we go to work this week, God, if we were thinking about taking a pen or whatever it is, God, that even crossed our mind, God, please forgive us, God. Please help us not to do it. As Richard obviously told us, God, it is theft. God, thank you so much for all the blessings. Thank you that you provide us, God, with all the necessities that we need to survive and live in life, God. We are truly, truly grateful. You are so amazing. Thank you, God, for your Son. Thank you so much for the ultimate sacrifice that He made for us. God, we love you so much. Worship you, God. And God, please, God, be with us. In your Son's name, amen. You're dismissed.